Last week on Jack Unmasked.
Talked to Bill Hunter. Would you come to Edmonton? It was the first goalie Edmonton Oilers ever had. I'll be honest, I was making $16,000 in the NHL. Edmonton next year, and you could be our starting goalie. And they said you can make $45,000, $55,000, or $65,000 for a three-year contract. It was enjoyable playing for them. Edmonton was good. The writer for the paper was Wayne Overland, and he was kind of assassinating me all the time. We lose game 2-1. It was always my fault. So I could just kind of sense there was something up. I walked into his office and I said, I know something's up, Bill. He said, nothing. I got to be honest with you. He says, we've signed another goalie. It's like, who might that be? He says, Jacques Plante. They said, well, you can back him up. I says, not in your life. I would never back up Jacques Plante because you're getting all the bad games. I won't go to training camp. I just won't. Phoenix Roadrunners were training in Saskatoon, and the manager was Bill McFarland, who I knew very well. I'm a free agent. He says, you're a what? Phone me next day on the farm. He says, come on into training camp. So we're playing Edmonton there one night in Phoenix, and Gary was playing, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't like this. I really had just a build-up against Edmonton. I just didn't. I hated everything about it, been the way I got left there. We got beat 5-2 in that game. So I walked into Sandy Huckle's office. He was our coach after, and said, I says, I don't care if I play the rest of the year. I want to play. The only games I want to have to play is against Edmonton. And he says, you got her. In Edmonton one night, and I was playing really well. So they announced the three stars. Jacques was, if he ever got the star of the game, come out and give that V for victory sign with the arms. First star of the game is Jack Norris. I skated right out towards center ice and put the arms in the air, V for victory. I got booed. I thought, you know what? Suck it up.
Well, welcome to the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by the Simply Grounded Coffee Gallery in downtown Delisle. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. So last week we didn't get a chance to get the podcast out. We apologize for that. We had actually recorded this version of the podcast after game 2 of Tampa Bay Washington. Yeah, so Tampa Bay was up 2-0 in that series. And then we had just found out some bad news that my brother ended up peeing out some blood, and everybody got worried, and he got medevaced from Jasper to Calgary. Turns out he ended up having a tumor on his kidney, ended up taking out his kidney. So the family ran out there last week to go and see him and make sure he was okay. And as an update of today, because this has almost been 10 days later, he is at home recovering and seems like everything is doing fine. So to Tuffy, this episode is dedicated to you. Okay, we're back with the Jack Norris Podcast. Jack, how are things going today?
Very good, very good.
Last week, we kind of talked a little bit about Bill Hunter, your buddy there, and releasing you or trading you to Phoenix, however that ended up working there. And I don't think most people realize, but you actually ended up, your first 2 years of Edmonton ended up playing in the All-Star Games.
Yeah, they had the first one I ever had in the WHA was in Quebec City. It was a good All-Star Game they had. I don't remember it too well. But then the next year they had it in St. Paul, Minnesota, and that was a beautiful rink. I mean, St. Paul was a big, beautiful, I had said at the time, the best rink I ever played in.
Oh, yeah.
The big screens in there and everything. That was like 45 years ago.
Yeah.
And so that was beautiful playing in there. No, I remember that game in St. Paul quite well. And Gordie Howe was on our team. And yeah, it was a very good event, I thought.
Yeah. So you end up playing in 2 All-Star games and then end up getting kind of released.
That was when Jacques Plante came into the scene. And I am not a Jacques Plante lover. I just can't stand Plante, and I know what kind of a guy he is, what he does with his, he gets injuries, and he pull up sick, and in the game's tough, he'll pull out on you, and I just can't stand that. I know if I had stayed in Edmonton, I'd be backing up Plante, because he would be the named as the number one guy, and I know I would have outplayed him, but that's just the way Bill Hunter did things. So I was really upset when I heard that Plante was signed by the Oilers. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to be here. I don't want any part of playing here.
So your buddy Bill Hunter there, remember when he tried to bring the NHL to Saskatoon? What did you think of that?
Well, I knew it wouldn't go because I Buck Campbell was the guy who I was pretty chummy with here because he was my that Massey Ferguson dealer.
Yeah.
And I said to Buck, I said, he says, I'd buy four tickets. If that comes, I'm buying four tickets. I says, Buck, you will not. You may buy them this year, but I says, when they don't do well this year, don't win the cup or whatever, I said, you're going to back off next year and probably only get two. And then I says, the year after that, you're probably not going to have any, because they won't have a competitive team for a lot of years. Like, Vegas is a very exceptional team that comes in and did well like they did. But if they had lost out, never made the playoffs, the interest wouldn't be there at all.
Oh, that's right. I think that was 1983 he was trying to bring the NHL here. And I think at that time, Saskatoon had 160,000 people.
Edmonton had, what, 500,000 when they got their chance to be in the NHL. So, no, Saskatoon
was never going to fly.
There's no money in Saskatoon compared to Edmonton. They got the oil fields up there. And that's where they get all their money from.
There was no money in Saskatoon back then in the 80s.
Nothing. I mean, the football in Regina is really good because they draw from Saskatoon and everywhere. So everybody drives down every 2 weeks. They'll drive to Regina just to see a football game. But people won't drive in the wintertime when the roads are icy and 40 below weather.
Not that many people.
No, so you can't.
It was such a... Everybody was all hyped up, but he got everybody in a frenzy, and then...
Yeah.
He knew there was never a chance, or if it ever did, it'd be here for 5 years, and he'd sell it and go somewhere else. It was an interesting time. Everybody thought, oh, yeah, we could support one.
No, not so.
How many people go to the Blaze games?
3,000, I hear.
3,000.
There you go.
Is that not good hockey?
Well, it's good hockey, but it's not. It's not.
Yeah, but I mean,
people aren't supporting it. I mean,
sure. If they were getting 12,000-14,000 to Blades games, I'm sure they'd think, you know what, we could hold an NHL team.
But. Yeah, the problem is with a lot of these place like Saskatoon is it is so cold up there. Like you get in the middle of winter when January and February, and you're going to a game, and it's -40 at night times, and you park your car out in the parking lot and. Sitting there for three hours and you go out to start, it won't start. I mean,
yeah,
like you're thinking, like, hey,
better chance I'm going to a game in Vegas.
Well, yeah, a few people would sooner do is fly to Vegas for a weekend and see two games.
Yeah,
that's what they love doing.
I'd rather do that,
absolutely.
Yeah,
and you see, and you work, go down to the game in your shorts and beautiful weather, and
that'd be a good trip,
absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah,
you betcha. So in 19, I'm not sure exactly if it was 59, 60, 61, but you were with Estevan. You were obviously the top guy on your team, and you were actually the number one guy in the whole league actually at the time too.
Yeah.
Tell us the story about what happened when you were with Estevan.
Well, we played against Regina in Estevan one night. Scotty was upset with us because we were losing too many close games, and he thought we should have been winning the games, and we were...
Scotty who?
Munro. He was our coach. So we were just losing these games. And so anyway, we went out and played and against Regina. And we ended up losing the game 3-2. We all come into the room and kind of upset because we had lost. And so we're all sitting there. And Scotty walks in right behind us. He says, don't take your stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
You're going out in the ice. You're going to practice for an hour.
And what time of year is this anyways?
Probably after January sometime.
Like it's still just league?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. February, maybe. We were in boarding houses and stuff like that. And we had to walk everywhere. You had no cars. You couldn't have a car in Estevan. You had to walk.
Oh, okay. What kind of team did you guys have?
Well, we had a pretty good squad there. But, you know, Scotty was just not getting everything out of everybody. That's the whole problem is it was just some guys were slackening off and... just not doing it. So anyway, we went back out, no pucks. And I had all that equipment on after playing a hard game. And you're out practicing. Stops and starts for an hour. Just like down the ice, back. Down the ice, back. Across the ice and just around the circles and worked hard. We come in after the practice is over, no pucks. And we're sitting there taking our stuff off. Old Scotty walked in. They call him the fat man.
Do they?
Yeah, because he was such a short, stubby guy. He starts giving us heck, giving some of the forwards and saying, what are you doing? I don't see any sweat and you know, you're not working and da-da-da-da. And he looked at me and said, Norris, you've been my goalie for 2 years. And he says, I don't need you anymore. You're fired. Well, I just about died. I thought, my goodness, he fired me. How can he do that? Like, I thought I was number one all-star in the league and everything else.
Yeah.
And took our stuff off and I went home to our boarding house and it's about a 20-minute walk. And it's cold. The middle of the night, it was really cold.
Yeah.
But your hair all bundled up. You get to the boarding house, and I'm rooming with Joe Watson at the time in our boarding house. But Joe can't remember that. He's got his memory's really bad, so he can't remember that I stayed with him. So there's four of us there at the boarding house, Don Newman, Doug Damon, Joe Watson, and me. And we just sat up till 5 o'clock in the morning because that Scotty had told us, you're back on the ice at 6 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Don't be late.
Yeah.
So we just sat and talked hockey all night and really felt in the dumps and no laughing. I'll tell you, it was really sad. That we just went down next morning, left around 5 o'clock, quarter to five. Get there at 5:30, and as I was walking into the Estevan rink, Scotty was standing in his office door, and he looked up and he says, "Norris, come here." So I walked in his office. And I was kind of scared to do it because I didn't know what he was going to clean the hell out of me, or I didn't know what was going to happen.
He was telling you, he told you, come in the morning and get your check and get out of there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he told you the night before or something.
Yeah, he said, you pick up your check. So I went in, he said, shut the door. So I shut the door, sat down. He says, I know I fired you last night, but he says, I didn't mean that. He says, I just did that out of pure frustration. He says, I don't know who to pick on to get the guys fired up. He says, the only I could think of was you.
Yeah.
Because you're my all-star goalie.
Yeah.
He says, you're main man on our team. Well, everybody heard that. They just says, oh my God, Jack Norris is fired. How could he do this? And Scotty said, you're not fired. He says, you know what? He said, you just get your stuff on, get out for practice, get them going, get them fired up, just get back on the winning track and I'll be a happy boy.
Yeah.
Well, we went out the next game, a couple of days later, I don't know, we were playing at home or away. I think it was away, maybe in Regina, I'm not sure. And Scotty was, we won the game, played really good, and he was so happy. And after that, we just never looked back. Never had that episode ever happen again.
Yeah.
But it was so shocking to me to think that I got fired. I mean, mm-hmm. Like, what do you have to do to make a team?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's one of those things, like, it's good coaching, though, too, right? Because at the same breath, like, there's no point in going after the poorer players because that doesn't get everybody excited. When he went after you, that got everybody concerned, right? Because if they can go after you, you can go after them. And, you know, it's going right after the core of the team.
Well, it's true. I mean, like I said, I thought untouchable with that team. I think in Estevan, in 4 years, I think I had four beer in 4 years.
Yeah.
That's exactly how the athlete I was. I was dedicated to the team and never partied and never took women out or nothing. And I thought, man, I thought a good guy. I never owned a car. I had a car, but I couldn't bring it down.
Yeah.
Because I never broke the rules at all. Always in for curfew every night. And just, I thought, good guy. But then I got fired. It was just like, oh, cow, what a demoralizing thing this is. And
yeah.
So, you know, it really worked out good for us in the end because we really come on strong and played well after that. And all he wanted to do was if we can win in Regina, that's what he wanted. Because he hated Regina. That was just our rival team. You walk into Regina and I got my guys on the ice and if we can win 3-2 there. But when they come and won 3-2 in our building, that really teed Scotty up.
Oh, yeah.
Really
yeah.
upset him. So
yeah.
But no, as far as the team, we had a decent team, not really great, but we had Johnny Roger was a forward on our team at the time from, I think, down east somewhere. He was a good hockey player, but I thought he would have maybe picked on him, mm-hmm. but he didn't. He picked on me instead. But you know what? I admire the fat man for that. And at least he was honest and told me, you know, you're not fired. He says, you're one of my mainstays. He says, we've got to have you. He says, we just want to get you going. He says,
yeah.
And get them going. He says, get these guys fired up. Get them excited. Get them going.
Yeah.
So I guess I did. I don't know. Me did it or Johnny Rod. I don't know how it all worked out. But no, we had a pretty good team.
I remember you telling me that story years ago when I was coaching the junior team here in town. I had known about that story and I tried something like that once too. I pulled the captaincy off of our captain who had been the captain for 3 years.
Yeah.
And man, the team was mad.
Yeah.
They were mad.
So what do you care?
Yeah.
That's what you wanted.
We ended up, like the first game it happened, they just went out and they played terrible because they were so mad at me and stuff. And then afterwards we had a meeting and they said, you know what? We want Russ at the time to be our captain. You know, we don't want to change. And I was like, oh, is that right? You do you? Fine, I'll be the captain. But if he doesn't play well, he's gone. Yeah. If you guys don't play well, he's gone.
Yeah.
We're moving on.
Yeah.
Well, that was the year we ended up winning 23
straight
in a row.
Yeah.
And plus four in the playoffs, technically, for 27 games in a row.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the same idea. You had to do something. And I kind of bring it back to that Trotz move where he pulled Holtby for those first two games, which I bet you some of the players were probably upset because he's been their starting goaltender for 4 or 5 years now.
Yep.
And he pulled them, and I bet you he got that just fired the rest of the guys up, especially when they put Holtby back in for game three.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, like we got to play for him too. Like that, it was a move, same as what Scotty did.
Yeah.
You know, and look at where they're at now. Like, who knows if they end up winning, comes right back to the same move Scotty did, to what Trotz did. And at some point, if you're a coach, you have to do that.
Well, you know what? Pittsburgh did that 2 years ago. They had Fleury in net.
Yeah.
And that Murray was the backup.
Yep.
And Murray came in for a game. He played so well, they never took him out the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Fleury sat.
Yeah.
And the next year, I think he came in again and he did the same thing.
Yep.
And he played the whole series, not quite as well, but he won the cup again. But this year, he just wasn't the same guy, I guess, or maybe the team didn't play as well. I really don't know. But
they could be tired. That's a lot of hockey the last three years
yeah.
they've played, right? They won the cup 2 years in a row playing into the middle of June or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hockey.
And I see Fleury, or Crosby, too. They talked to him. And, you know, without him at his top game, that team's not. Like, if you took him off that lineup, are they going to win?
They wouldn't have done anything. I think he had 21 points.
Yeah. Like,
he was playing unbelievable.
Yeah. So. But you know what? You can get like Ovechkin. Like, I'm not an Ovechkin fan.
No,
but you can
neither.
Go back to Ovechkin last 2 years.
Yeah.
They come into the playoffs. He doesn't do nothing.
No.
He just dogged it and he did nothing. And Crosby outplayed him. They shook hands. He saw him. And, you know, I thought, you know what? That's like the king and the cat. It's just two different, king and the queen.
Yeah.
Like, Kings, he played so well, Crosby did. And I'm not a Crosby fan, but you know what? I call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
When a guy's playing as good as he does and did, like some of those deflections, he'd deflect the puck, stop it with a stick, and then he'd smack it in.
Yeah.
Like two in one play.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. He can do that.
Oh, I know. I know. Do you know a little trick I had learned there? Actually, it was from Scotty Bowman, a trick I used to do as a coaching tactic?
No.
You know how you want to get mad at top guys, because there's no point of getting mad at the bottom end guys. They won't follow.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to get mad. That's why Scotty got mad at you. That's why I think Trotz pulled Holtby. Like, you go after your top guy.
Yeah.
Or one of them. He's, top guys to get a reaction from the team.
Yeah.
But what I used to yell at the players or whatever, and I'd yell at the captain, if I was calling him by his last name, I wasn't mad at him.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh.
Everybody else thought I was.
Oh.
But he knew I wasn't mad at him. If I called him by his first name, he knew I was mad at him.
Oh.
But if I call him by his last name, you know, you could say, Norris, pick your shit up and get playing better.
Yeah.
And then you knew
that
I wasn't mad at you.
Yeah.
I was just trying to get everybody fired up.
Well, you know what? You got to do what you think is right. And you can't, if you back off, then you're gone. You
so
won't
it was a good tactic because everybody thought you were mad at the top guy.
Yeah.
But you're not.
Yeah.
So they played better because they didn't want to get, you know, shit from the coach. But they also like, holy cow, he's going after him. He's coming after me next.
Yeah.
The top guy wasn't mad at you because he knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
And he just played along with it. But it would work every time. And I read that in a book. Scotty Bowman used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
So it only works until your captain tells everybody what you're doing. But
they
never did because it was a pretty interesting tactic.
Well, why would they tell? Because they want the guys to get fired up. And
sure. They know what you're doing.
Even if you're sitting having a beer with the guys, you would never admit that. That's happening. Because you can't. You'll say, geez, the old man's pretty mad. He's getting us, we got to get going here. Or else we're going to be all gone.
Yeah, that's right. So that's right.
It's a strategy they have. And at the time, when I was 18 years old, I never thought of this ever happening to me. I mean, why would you think that? I mean, and then all of a sudden it did, and you're sitting there saying.
Well, that had to be pretty stressful. Like, I mean, that's all you have, right? You basically quit school to go play hockey.
Yep. I had to ask Mom if I could go, and she said, how about your schooling? I says, I'm no good in school. All I do is look out at that hockey rink all day, and it's all I think about is hockey. I said, I'm no good in school.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't tell you. You can cut this out if you want, but I've only got a grade 8 education. That's all I've got.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you basically quit after grade 8.
I took grade 9. I flunked it.
Yep.
And then, so I never got my grade 9.
That's right. So I guess the whole point is, I mean, you getting cut from your dream of hockey.
Yeah.
Man, you're done.
That's right. What else? What's your next step?
Farm. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. You're done.
So
I don't think most people realize, I mean, when you say, oh, you got fired, oh, big deal. It threatened to fire you. Well, what else were you going to do?
Yeah. I can honestly say, another little topic, but is I ask people all the time, like, what would you do if, like, Noah, I'll say, would you, if you could relive your life all over again, would you change anything?
Right.
And a lot of people say, oh, I'd change this, I'd change that. And after they're done, I'll say, you know what? I wouldn't change a thing.
Right, yeah.
And they'll say, really? I said, sure, I could say I wanted to marry a wife who's got $10 million and can support me the rest of her life, and that's being greedy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that. But I said I would, the way things happen, I went from a farm, from a poor little 15-year-old kid shoveling manure.
Yeah.
And coming in at nights and laying on the floor, listening, we didn't have TV, listening to Foster Hewitt on Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the biggest thrill. And I was telling a lady last night, same thing. And, you know, I remember the first time I played in Maple Leaf Gardens, and I'm out on the ice, and I looked up, and I seen Foster Hewitt.
Oh, yeah.
Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Just to think, did I ever think this would happen 5 years ago?
Yeah.
That I'd be here in Toronto watching Foster Hewitt. And to me, that was just one of the biggest thrills I've ever had.
Yeah, that's right, eh?
It was great. It was amazing. Just, you know, and it's... And I never was the greatest hockey player, but you know what? I worked hard. The harder I worked, the luckier I got.
Right, yeah.
You got it.
Right.
I mean, as a kid, that's all I tell every kid I see. You know, you work hard, you'll get lucky. You will sometime. Luck will change.
Yeah.
But if you don't work, you quit. Anybody can quit.
Oh, for sure.
But you got to work hard.
That's right, yeah.
So,
yeah. No, that's the only way to get through. I mean, at that point, when the players that you were playing against... At that time, I mean, you're getting down to the best of the best of the best with only at 1.6 goalies.
Yeah. And you know what? When I first started, there's only 120 guys in the whole world playing in that league.
Oh, yeah.
Six teams.
Yeah.
120. And one goalie. So I'm one of six guys playing.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that was, you know, I mean, I was just a skinny kid from Delisle up there in the city of Boston, walking the streets. But you know what? You're like a god.
Oh, yeah.
You were.
That's right. Yeah.
Everybody see you and they'd say, oh, there's Jack Norris. He just got brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. And you know what? You'd play the game. And like I told that story about Chicago when I got traded to Chicago and you're walking up those 21 steps. That was one of the biggest thrills I've ever had.
Yeah.
Was walking up those 21 steps onto that ice surface with 20,000 people plus millions on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And
even just to do it once.
You're a kid from Delisle.
Yeah.
And when did you ever imagine that would ever happen? It's just time. There again, you go back to the old statement, the harder you work, the luckier you get.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, there's good times and bad times and ugly times in hockey.
So do you think what Scott ended up doing there helped you in your career?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, when I went to Boston I was 19 and I could have stayed there. They said, you can stay, but you're going to go to Hull, Ottawa to play because Eddie Johnson he beat me out that year for the job. And he said, you're our number one guy. If we ever call up somebody to come up, if you're in Hull, Ottawa, you're not far away.
Yeah.
And I went on, they said, you can go home and sleep on to decide what you want to do. And my other guy with me was Bruce Gamble, he didn't play as well, and he was a big drinker, and he was fat, and da-da-da-da. And so I could have went to Hull, Ottawa. I would have ended up playing the whole year because I know Bruce would not have played because his attitude was bad. And but I decided then, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back to Estevan, play one more year.
Oh, okay.
So they phoned Scotty and say he's going to come back. And Scotty was so happy when he heard that I was going back to Estevan, so... He was pretty happy, man. So, no, but that's the year we went into the Memorial Cup Finals, in the West.
Yeah.
And if we had beat Edmonton, we would have went to down east to play.
Yeah, that's right.
And we went best of nine series and went nine games. We're proud of that. So, and that was Pat Quinn and a bunch of rough guys. And,
oh, yeah.
No, it's just the way the whole life goes.
It's interesting. Once a coach fires a team up by doing that, once they start to play well, they realize how well they can play, and they actually start playing at that level, don't they?
We did, yeah. We played really well after that, and we had just the way life goes.
Yeah, well, that's good. Maybe it was a good thing you did it. Some people might have thought it was harsh, but it turned out probably for the best for everybody.
Well, I know it turned out great for my life anyway, because I got good remembrances of the way things happened. It wasn't easy, but you know what? I'm just pleased that I played as much as I did.
You betcha. So that's awesome. So what do you want to talk about next week, you know?
I have no idea.
Okay. I hadn't thought about it either. We'll have to make it up, I guess, eh?
We'll think of something.
Yeah, we'll think of something, I guess, eh? So, and until then, thanks for it, Jackson, and we'll talk to you then.
All right. See you later.
Okay. You bet. Bye.
Well, that ends episode 60 of Jack Unmasked, where we learn that even the toughest coaching can help an athlete and even more help the entire team. If you'd like to hear a little more of the Jack Unmasked, we have a special at the end of the montage where Jack and I actually discussed his playoff predictions. If you'd like to be notified of the next podcast, which comes out every Friday, go to www.nccag.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email, and you'll be notified of the next podcast, which comes out each Friday. Until we talk to you next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Scotty was upset with us. We ended up losing the game 3-2. He says, don't take your stuff off. No pucks. Stops and starts for an hour. We come in. After the practice was over, Scotty walked in. They call him the Fat Man. And he looked at me and said, Norris, you've been my goalie for 2 years. And he says, I don't need you anymore. You're fired. Well, I just will die. You're back on the ice at 6 o'clock. Don't be late. Get there at 5:30. And Scotty was standing in his office door. And he looked at me and he says, Norris, come here. Scotty said, you're not fired. He says, you know what? He said, you just get your stuff on. Get out for practice. Get him going. Get him fired up. To that, we just never look back.
So an interesting weekend here. Tampa Bay's down 2-0 to Washington. What's your thoughts on how they're doing, and who do you think's gonna win the cup and why? Let's do a little prediction.
I'm really disappointed in Tampa Bay. I thought they would have done better. We really thought they would have been up 2-0 in the series, because I didn't think the Washington Capitals had the powerhouse that they're showing. I'm surprised that Washington's up 2-0 on a road trip. And as far as winning the cup, I can't see the West winning, because it's two new teams in there, Winnipeg and Vegas, and not very often you ever see them go to the final and win everything. I could be wrong, but I think if Washington beat Tampa Bay, I think they're going to come in and win a cup.
You think so, hey? Think it's their time.
Yep.
Yeah, Ovechkin is playing pretty good.
So. Yeah, he's playing hard, and not just him. That goalie,
Holtby,
he's playing well now. He didn't at the start, didn't play, but he's on his game now, and he's playing really well. And you know, it's just I think Washington's just maybe going to have their year.
I think that was the coach of the year move, is when he, when he didn't start Holtby.
Yeah.
First couple of games of the series.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe he wanted to give him a little lesson. I don't know what the problem was. I guess he wasn't playing well or something. And I think that just by sitting on the bench, and, you know, you can learn a lot when you're sitting there watching.
Oh, yeah.
You sit there thinking, oh, geez, I just wasn't doing that. And if I get back in there, I'm going to straighten all this out and I'm going to play well. Because it's hard. When you're told, when you're playing all year, you're the number one guy, and then you're sitting there not playing, and you sit there thinking, boy, and then you go home at nights and you're pretty upset.
Yeah.
And you take the game home with you, and you sit and you think about it, and then you come back to practice, you work hard, then you get your start, and then he's been playing well ever since.
That's so far the coach of the year move, because if they would have lost that first series, Trotz knew he was fired.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Probably.
But what else is he going to do? He had to roll the dice on that. He put his career on the line to pull.
Yeah.
He could have done the safe thing and put Holtby in and maybe struggled and lose that first second round. And
yeah.
But now he's got Holtby playing. That's a good job of coaching as far as I'm concerned, right?
Well, I like Holtby too. You know, he's a Lloydminster guy. He's from around here, so which is really good, but he's a pretty tall kid.
Yeah.
And he's well built, and you know, he can handle the pressure. You never see him smile out there, I'll tell you. He's got that serious look on his face at all times. So
you're picking who to win the cup then?
I think Washington after beating, I thought Tampa Bay would have, like I would have picked Tampa Bay to win that series, but not now. I mean, they're down two games to nothing and they're playing at home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you can't, I don't think a team has ever come back and won the series.
No, I think it's being, like 39 out of 41 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's not looking good for them. So who are they playing in the final?
I think Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I really do, but I don't think Winnipeg has got the overall strength to, like, I think the East are stronger than the West this year. I really do. You take, like, the teams that are beat out, like Boston and Pittsburgh, and then you look on the West side, it's L.A. and San Jose. And, like, they're not nearly the teams as they are out in the East. Like, the East are strong, I think. So I really think the East is going to win it this year.
Oh, cool. That's interesting.